Lord, this evening we just in awe of who you are, God. You are just so amazing. Lord, we worship you with everything in us. Thank you that we can give our hearts to you. We can just give our lives to you, Lord. Our whole being, Lord, belongs to you, God. And we surrender every part of our hearts to you this evening. We surrender, Lord, everything that we so many times hold on to, Lord. And you are just longing just to take that which we hold on to, Lord, that which we try to control so many times, and we just give it to you this evening, Lord. We give over control of our lives, Lord. We're just so sorry, Lord, that so many times we try to run our lives, Lord. We want you to be the leader, Lord. We want to follow in your footsteps so that we don't wander off the path, Lord, to the right or to the left. We want to follow your wholeness, Lord, and your holiness and your perfection. Because we realize tonight we are imperfect, Lord. We fall short of your glory, but this evening we thank you for the blood of Jesus that we can boast about, for the cross of Christ that we can boast about. That we have a testimony, and that each one of us has a testimony of your power in us, Lord, your realness in us, your truth in us. We thank you that we can even surrender that which we've never allowed you to change in our lives. We ask you tonight, we have an expectation, Lord, that you can change even that, Lord. We thank you tonight for your presence here. We thank you for your healing, for your freedom that you have bought for us on the cross. And this evening, Lord, we also give our finances to you, Father. We give you every little part of us, Lord, including that which we work hard for, that which we earn. Lord, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve material things, Lord. But tonight we consecrate our finances to you. We consecrate our physical assets to you, Lord. Everything we own, Lord, belongs to you. We are just stewards of it tonight. And we thank you for this opportunity right now that we can give into your storehouse, Lord. Let's just use this opportunity as the ushers pass the offering bags around just to give with a thankful heart tonight, because God is good. Amen. So take out your wallets and consecrate your money to the Lord before you just throw it in the bag. Don't do it lightly. Let's really do this as a holy moment. Let's not talk or discuss anything. Let's just focus on the Lord as we give, because so many times our finances are very holy to us. And God wants us to realize that He is so much holier. He is so much more perfect, so much more wonderful and more worth serving than money or the things that money can represent, can buy. And that's the great thing about church, is that we have an opportunity to say to the Lord, Lord, we don't serve the God of mammon, we serve you. So at the same time, let's just prepare our hearts while we remain in an attitude of worship. Let's just prepare our hearts for the word tonight. Lord, thank you that we can just give into your house this evening, God. We consecrate these finances to you. We thank you that they represent many hours, Lord, and much sweat and, Lord, much hard work. But thank you that it's all because of you, God. You have made us and given us the ability to create wealth. And we thank you for even the smallest income and increase that you've given us, Lord. And we give it back to you tonight as a living sacrifice, that which belongs to you anyway. But you give us the free choice to give it or not, Lord. We don't have to give to you, and you never force us to give, but thank you that we can give out of thankful and humble hearts this evening. Because you are our God and you are our Lord, and we put you on the throne tonight, and we take mammon off the throne. We do not want to serve mammon. We do not want to serve two masters, because we know that it brings division in our lives. We want to serve you wholeheartedly, and we consecrate our hearts to you more than anything tonight. Make us givers, Jesus. Make us like you. to become givers in your house. In the Lord's name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Amen. Does anyone want to share a testimony about Lesotho Mission? Is anyone burning to share just what the Lord did in your life in Lesotho last week? Just want to give you an opportunity before I start. Does anyone? I know this is a bit unprepared, but if you really feel like you want to, is there anyone? No takers? We'll still hear lots of testimonies when we give the official feedback. Tim, would you like to share something? Thanks.
Okay, cool. So last week, or in the holiday, we went to Lesotho for a week on a mission, and we went to the same town where we had gone previously, and some of you might have seen Ferdi and Lulu, who have been here before, and they, you know, we actually went to go visit them. They're two missionaries that stay there, and in this town called Semonkong, and in one of the villages called Polating, we were able to go there and to do door-to-door ministry for a week. So it was so cool because you'd go back to the same people day after day and you'd start building this relationship with people and telling them about the Lord. And the one day, we broke up into smaller groups as we went from house to house. And we got to this we found this guy who was busy there with his horses. He was busy making blankets for his horses. And we started to speak to him, and he was quite excited because it was a church which was going to be planted on the Sunday, the last Sunday that we were there. And he was excited about the church and to see us. And so he told us that a couple of weeks ago there was another chauffeur team who had also gone to their church, or to their village, and had actually prayed for his knee, which had been hurting, and the pain had gone away. And so he told us a bit about that. And so we connected with him, and we asked if there's anything which we can pray for him for. And he said, no, but his little brother is a bit sick. He keeps throwing up his food. And so he asked us, well, but the little brother wasn't there that day, so he asked if we could come back the next day to come and pray for him, for the little brother. So we said, cool. And next day we rock up there at their house, and the mom was there with the little brother. And we saw that the little brother had muti around his neck. He had some, it's witchcraft stuff which they hang around their necks. And so we told the mom, look, we can't pray for this little boy if he has a muti around his neck, because otherwise you're putting your trust in God and in the witch doctors, and you have to choose to put all your trust in God. So you need to take off the muti of the little boy. And she said, no, she can't, because her husband has to do it. And long story, but in the end, the mom didn't want to take off the muti of the boy's neck, so we couldn't pray for him. So we were a little bit bleak about that. But then what happened was, the young man who was busy making the blankets for his horses, the older brother, he had heard what we were saying to the mom. He was standing about 10 meters away, and he heard our conversation the whole time. And so after the conversation with the mom ended, he came forward to us and he told us, look, his knee sometimes still gets sore in the evenings when it's extremely cold, and he was considering cutting it open and putting muti in his knee, but then after he heard the conversation which we had with the mother, he had decided not to do that and put all his trust in God. And so he asked that we just pray for his knee again, and we prayed for his knee, and then later in the week we saw him again, and he said his knee didn't get sore again. So it was so cool to just, you know, see how God uses one if you go. If you're willing to go, God will use you. And so it's always lucky to hear those testimonies. So, hallelujah.
Thanks. Praise to Jesus for what he did. He did amazing things. Did you guys enjoy the CD launch? Just like shake somebody next to you and say, God is moving in the city, and he's in our church. He's doing great things because he is a great God. Amen. Are there any moms in the house that you know of? Any mothers in the house? Gerda, anyone else? I think we should just quickly close our eyes and let's just pray for our moms. If you in your heart can just pray, I'll just pray a prayer. And we just thank God for our moms, because today was Mother's Day, in case you forgot. Okay, you can still phone your mom. But let's just pray for our moms and thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the moms in this church, but we also just thank you for each one of our mothers, Lord, that are so precious to us. And many times we forget the sacrifices that they've made. We forget, Lord, how they labored, Lord, to bring us into this world. And we thank you for them today. We honor them. We worship you for them, Lord. Thank you that we can truly say that moms are from you, God. And we thank you also for the moms that you're raising up in our church, Lord, those who will still be moms. We thank you that you're preparing their hearts to to be amazing mothers, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the examples that we can have, Lord, for those who have gone before us and have been successful in being mothers in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we worship you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for today, and that each mom can really feel special, Lord. Even those who are alone, far from their families, thank you that they can know you are with them, that you will never leave them nor forsake them. We praise you, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It will be good for you to speak to your mom and to honor her. It's the best thing to honor family and to honor, especially when it's... We shouldn't only wait for Mother's Day and Father's Day. We should really honor our parents as much as possible. Amen. It's a good thing. The Bible says so. You will live long days. So who wants a long life? Then just obey Scripture and honor your parents. Okay. It's really a blessing to honor your parents. So tonight, you might think, but what has my word got to do with Mother's Day? Because it says children of our Father. So I will show you what I'm going to be talking about. It's actually, in a way, a little bit applicable to moms as well. But specifically, I'm talking about the being a child of our great Father in heaven. And why I got to this word, and the Lord's really been stirring in our intercession meetings over and over again. He's confirming this word that God really wants us to understand the heart of the Father. Amen. He wants us to understand His heart, and He wants us to understand where He's going with us as a church. And I think there's lots of brokenness that God really wants to heal. And most of it starts because we don't understand fully the heart of our Father. And, you know, talking about Lesotho, the other day we were ministering, one of the days we were ministering in the village there, and a couple of us spoke to this one man. It was just an amazing setup by God, a divine appointment. We were going from one house to the next, and in between there was this path, and yeah, we just met this guy on this path, and it was obviously God's appointment for this man. And we started to speak to him, and I just felt the Lord saying to me, I must ask him how he'd experienced his grandfather specifically, and did he know him, and is he still alive? Or then he said, you know, he died when I was 15 years old, he said, and he didn't really know him, but, you know, he kind of sort of remembers him. And then I said, and what about your father? I just sense your father was such a hard man, or is such a hard man, and he's really a domineering personality and, like, you know, hard on the family and everything. And he was like, I could see the lights going on. Obviously, we had the translator having to translate what I was saying, and I could see the lights going on even before he'd answered. And he said, yes, no, that's true. My dad is still alive, and our family's doing very badly at the moment. There's just chaos, and no one's happy, and there's not peace, and things are not great. And my dad is this domineering person. And I said to him, I believe that your grandfather was the same, and I believe your dad just got it from him. And I believe God wants to stop it in your generation. He wants to stop that cycle with you. And I could see that he was like this very sort of gentle-spirited guy, and very, you know, not such a in-your-face type of person. And so I could see this domineering thing must have really affected him a lot, because he was probably always told to be quiet and just to be in his place and all that type of things. And it really made sense to him. And unfortunately, we didn't have lots of time to minister because he was rushing on his way to do something. And so we just left that with him and said, we trust God to have another connection with you, and hopefully the people in the church will follow you up as well. But really, it hit me, because I believe that God was trying to say to him that God is the God of the generations. God is not only the God of one generation. He's not only the God of your generation and our generation today. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He keeps saying that in His Word. I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. I'm a generational God. And it's amazing when you read the New Testament and you start with Matthew and you see that this guy begot, you know, so many begots that you sort of skip over verse chapter 1 and you want to go on to 2. But you forget about what is God trying to say through all those begots. He didn't forget anything by saying begot, okay? He really added something by saying, I'm a God of generations. I'm a God of the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, etc., etc. And so this evening, I believe the Lord wants to remind us again that He wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Because, yeah, in Malachi 4, the last verse in the Old Testament, the last two verses, it talks like this. It goes like this. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. What a way to end the Old Testament. Like, you've had all these stories of overcoming and this awesome creation at the start, and how You know, God's story starts to unfold and he ends it with, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And it's amazing. He starts the New Testament in a similar fashion by saying that he wants to raise up someone to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In Luke chapter 1, it talks about John the Baptist. And it says here, the prophecy that was given to his father. And he says, he will go before him, that's before the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for our Lord. Very similar to the end of Malachi, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. I would say God is quite serious about hearts of fathers turning to children and children to fathers. Wouldn't you agree? But there's someone else that's also very serious about doing the opposite. He wants to turn the hearts of the fathers away from the children and the children away from the fathers. His name is Satan, the devil, the evil one, the liar, the deceiver of the brethren. He wants to do the exact opposite. And he knows the power when generations turn to one another. And you see, each one of us sitting here are the product of a generation that went before us, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not, you're the product of a generation that went before you, or not only one, but a couple of generations that went before you. And so you tend to inherit the things that they did well and also the things that they did not so well. That is just how it is, unfortunately. Life is like that. And it's supposed to be a blessing, but you know what? The devil has turned it into a curse. And as soon as he curses one generation and doesn't get broken, it just carries on and on and on into the next generation. But God wants to restore that. God wants to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. That's why he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus, who was ultimately going to do that. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But tonight, I want to specifically focus on the heart of God. And I want to ask you this question. What do you think about when you think about God? When you think about the Father, what do you think about? What image comes into your mind? A.W. Tozer said it so nicely. He says, the most important thing about you is what you think about when you think about God. The most important thing about you is what do you think about when you think about God? And so I want to ask you, what comes to mind? What is your image of the Father? Is it the following? Is it an accountant God? Very calculated, very prim and proper. Let's just talk about debits and credits. It's all about measurement. It's all about analysis. Just give me the stats. How many debits? How many credits? How many sins today? How many good things today? Let's measure them up and... No. Let's not talk about relationship. No, how many debits? How many sins? How many good... Okay, you measure... Ooh, you are far from it. Lots of sin today. Ooh, lots of sin. It's all about the stats. The stats say it all, you know? That thing about, look at the stats. Don't look, I'm just the messenger. Look at the stats. Is that the God that you see? The accountant God? Do you see God as an eBay God? Let's do some transactions here. You know, we don't like this thing, so let's just sell this and buy another thing. And it's all exciting, you know. We just throw away what we don't like and buy what we like. And, you know, life is cool. Let's just do some trading with God. The eBay God. Is that your picture of him? Is your picture of God the grandpa God? The beard? The friendly one with sweets in his pocket? You know, my grandfather always used to, my brother and I used to like make us like little turkeys or chickens running around. He used to give us these jelly beans and he used to just like gulu, gulu, gulu like this and throw them all over the carpet. And then we used to like pick up as many as we could and just like this fun thing. I'll never forget it. Is that your picture of God, this grandpa guy that's out there, friendly, doesn't always come visit you, but sometimes you go and visit him? And or is your God the schoolmaster God, this very strict guy that's like, let's just make sure you're morally perfect and you're always on the right path and get a hiding if you don't get into line and it's always yes sir, no sir, you know, three bags full sir, you know, the boys' school, if you go to a boys' school, they're always so... Hello, sir. You know, when you walk in there, it's all schoolmaster stuff. Is that your picture of God? Or is your God the force somewhere out there? I was watching Top Billing the other night, and one of these very successful people talked about how, you know, it's just so, it's awesome when you just believe in yourself and you do your best, and you know what? There's a force that guides you somewhere out there. I was thinking, come on, let's get a life, you know. What is this force out there? There's a realness. But anyway, is that your God? Is that your picture of God? He's somewhere out there. Or is your God maybe a doomsday God? You've got to avoid at any cost because he's going to strike you with lightning, fire and brimstone, hellfire kind of thing. To avoid him at all costs, is that the God that you portray in your head? Or what about the church God? Shh. Let's not talk. Let's not. It's we're in God's house here. Let's be quiet, you know. Shh. Don't make a noise. God is like this grandpa out there, you know. Can't shout at him. Got to be quiet. Or is he the Buddy Bob God, you know? Let's go surf, dude. It's so cool, man. Huh? Buddies, yeah, man, we chat about cool stuff, you know. But when the challenges come, we just go to our next buddy there, you know. But make jokes with each other. There's no real respect. But, you know, we buddies. Buddy Bob, hey, God. Yeah. Or is he the politically correct God? Always doing the right thing, pleasing all the people. Let's not offend anyone, please. Let's just be politically correct, just like we see some people at the moment. Never offensive. What is your picture of God tonight? What is your picture of the Father? And there's no better way to illustrate this, to illustrate the Father's heart than in this story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And I'm telling my son the story, and it's so awesome to tell him this. And he's like, he's so interested in this older brother and younger brother and all this. And it's really amazing to revisit it yourself and to realize God's heart for us. And so tonight, please come back next week, because tonight I'm going to focus out of the story. I'm going to focus on the father's heart towards the children. That's what I'm going to focus on. But next week, I'm going to focus on the children, because there are actually three sons in the story. I'll tell you next week why I say that. But next week I'm going to focus on the sons and where their shortcomings lay and where how God wants to change that. Because I believe that is the key to our church and to the city. There are so many orphans in the city. So many people have got the orphan spirit within them. And the Father wants to come and change that. The Father does not want us to be orphans any longer. He wants us to understand His heart, the Father's heart. And so before I look at the relationship of the sons to the father, I've got to look at the relationship of the father to the sons. And more than that, the heart that this father portrays in this parable. So let's read this together. If you've got your Bibles, you're welcome to open them to Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. I'm so excited about this tonight. I know God wants to change lives in this place. If you will open your heart, and we prayed for it just now, if you will open your heart, God will do something amazing in your heart. God wants to deposit something in you tonight. Let's pray before we read. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I pray that your word would really, Lord, be the divider tonight between soul and spirit. Lord, that which is not of you, that which is not spirit, that which is still flesh, pray that you would come and show us, Lord, what we don't believe fully out of your word. But show us, Lord, that which stands out for each one tonight. Something different for each person, something very special for each person. I pray that your word would do that tonight in Jesus' name. Let's read together. Then he said, Luke writing and saying the following. Then he said, this is Jesus, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So this father divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, he journeyed to a far country. There he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Just picture this as we read. Picture the story playing out in your mind. It's so amazing when you have kids. You've got to do this. You've got to like picture things when you're telling a child a story. So let's be like children tonight and really see the Holy Spirit speaking to us. When he had spent all, so the son is all there in a far country and he had spent all, and there he arose a sudden famine in this land and he began to be in want. And so he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. He was so hungry. But then he suddenly came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And yet I perish with hunger. I will arise and I'll go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he arose and he came to his father, and when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father interrupted him. He said to his servant, he says, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and let's briar, you know. We're going to have a briar now. So he said, bring the fatted calf and let's kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. And guess what? They began to have a huge, big party, including a briar, of course. Must have been in the Free State, okay? Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed, yes, the fatted calf, the one you always used to feed there. He's killed him. And so this brother was angry and he would not go in. And his father came out and he pleaded with him. And he answered and said to his father, but look at all these years that I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat. I'm so angry that I might make merry with my friends. I couldn't even have that. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured all your livelihood with harlots and killed the fatted calf for him, can you believe this, father? So he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead. And now he's alive again. He was lost. He's found. An amazing story. It's long. I know many verses of scripture there, but so much is involved there. And that's why I'm going to do it over 2 weeks, because tonight I want to focus on the heart of the Father. I want to focus on what the Bible says about the heart of this Father and how it portrays to us as believers and how we should relate to our Father in heaven. The first thing from verse 12, if we go all the way back to verse 12, it's amazing. The son goes and he says to his father, listen here, typical rebellious son, typical young son. He says, listen here, I want everything that you owe to me now. How's that? Give me, give me, give me. And what does this father do? He divides his livelihood amongst the two brothers. This father is a fair and a just and a giving father, wouldn't you say? He didn't ask any questions. He just said, you know what, son? That is what I owe you, because that is your inheritance. And you've asked for it, and you know what? Yeah, you can take it. You can take your share. But how cool is it? He's so fair. He doesn't decide, oh, the other son didn't ask, so he'll just give everything to the younger son. No, he divides it up. And you know what it says? It says his livelihood, all that he had, like all the inheritance that he had to give his children. He gives it. He gives it to the younger son. He's a just, he's a fair, and he's a giving God. And you know what? Many times we are like the older son. We can't receive. And so the one thing the father honored about this younger son, and he didn't know that he was going to leave. He just asked for his inheritance. He didn't say right then he was going to leave, but he honored the son for the fact that he asked for his inheritance. But tonight, the focus is that God is a just, a fair, and a giving God. Amen. And sometimes we must receive what God has for us. But he is that. Whether you can receive or not, it's not about that. It's about God being a giving God, being a fair God, being a just God. Verse 17, a little bit further on in the story. That's why I want you to come back next week. I'm going to focus more on the son's reaction and all that. But tonight I want to focus on the father. In verse 17, it's interesting. You read about what the son, because suddenly he came to himself and he realized, oh no, I'm in a bad place. And one thing he realized when he did that, the first thing that he realized, it says that when he came to himself, this is the first thing he said in verse 17. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? That's the first thing that came to his mind. He realized the kindness and the goodness of his father, even towards his servants, his slaves. They weren't even his sons, but yet they had abundance of life. And that must have made an impact on the son. The heart of this father made a huge impact on the son. And that made him start to realize, but what am I doing here? My father's house is a house of abundance. My father's house is a house of provision. He gives to everyone. And that is when he realized, listen here, I just want to be a slave in my father's house. I just want to go back to be a servant. I don't even have to be a son again. Because why? This Father is kind to everyone. God is good to everyone. God is kind to everyone. That's His heart. And it really made an impact on the son and made him turn when he thought about it. Because he must have just seen it. He must have seen how well the servants were living. And then thirdly, verse 20 carries on, and this is now where the son is busy coming back. Let's read that together. It says, he arose and he came to his father. So the son decided he's going to do what he said he was going to do. And it says the following, but when he was still a great way away, if he was still a long way from home, look at what his father did. First of all, he saw him. In other words, he was waiting for him. He was looking out every day to see if his son wouldn't come back. He saw him. He had compassion upon him. He ran, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. This father was a very loving and a very merciful father and a very forgiving father. He didn't hold grudges. Didn't say, son, first you've got to prove yourself again. First you've got to do a few things before I'm going to accept you. No, no, no. He was waiting for him all the time. His love was so amazing. Five things that he had. He had eyes of mercy. He could see him before the son could even see the father. He saw him. He was looking out for him. And our Father in heaven is the same. He's looking out for each one of his children. He's looking out for us. He doesn't miss you. He doesn't miss a thing that you've done. Secondly, he had bowels of mercy. In other words, he had compassion that came from, yeah, not just a mental compassion or a mind thing. It was really a feeling. He had such compassion upon the son that his bowels were moved. He was so excited and so glad that the son came back. Then thirdly, he had feet of mercy. He ran to him. He saw him. He had compassion. And then he ran. He wasn't like, oh, waiting for him to clean himself up first. No, he ran to him. Because he recognized his son. He recognized that his son was coming home. Fourthly, he had arms of mercy. He put his arms around him and he hugged him. He fell on his neck. It talks about hugging. I imagine someone has just been with the pigs. Smells like not so nice, you know. This afternoon, my father's heart was tested this afternoon because Matthew, somehow now he's going back to his old ways of doing stuff in his pants, but now he doesn't wear nappies anymore, so every now and again a number two is in the underpants, and that's not so cool, you know. It doesn't smell nice. So he comes into the room and he's like crying, and Esther just says to me, yes, he's probably done something in his pants. And so we get up and I just have the smell, it's just down his leg, and I just think into the shower straight away. It's not so cool, okay? But this is what the son must have been smelling like. Ew. But the father wasn't shaken by that. He just fell on his neck and he kissed him. Would we do that to someone who's just come from the pigsty, someone who hasn't had a shower for 5 years? Would we do that? Is that our love? God's love is like that. He loves us. He hugs us. Doesn't matter how much we smell, how much we stink. And he's got lips of mercy, kisses us. God is a forgiving God, just like this father. This father forgave his son. Number four, in verse 22, it just says that, he says, and his son, it's interesting to see, and let's just go back to the previous one. It says here, go back one scripture. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He doesn't say a last thing there. If you look at the previous verse, he said, you know what, I'm going to tell my father I'm not worthy. I've sinned against heaven and everything. And please just make me like one of your hired servants. That's what he said in his mind he's going to say to his father. But if you look there, he stops. He says, I've sinned against heaven and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He's probably about to say, Father, please make me like one of your hired servants. And what does the father say? He says, listen here, stop. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, it's like he didn't even speak to the son. It's almost like he said, stop, son. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us have a huge braai together. Let us celebrate. This father restores his sons to a better place. He restores his children to a better place. That is the heart of this father. And this father wanted to restore the son. He said, listen, I don't want to just make you like you were. I'm going to make you a true son in my eyes. I'm going to give you the best robe. I'm going to give you my authority. I'm going to put a ring on your finger, which symbolizes that everything I stamp and I put my hand to, you have the same authority. You can do whatever I do. You have the full authority. You have my backing. And I want to put sandals on your feet. It talks about your identity, your destiny, and your authority. Your identity in the robe of righteousness, your authority in the ring. And it represents the Holy Spirit. If you go further on in Scripture, that's the ring that God gave us. The seal. The engagement ring is the Holy Spirit. It's the authority of God. Then he puts the sandals on his feet. He says, you've got a destiny. You've got a purpose in life. You don't have to wander about and go to a far country and try to do things. You've got a purpose to live for. The heart of the Father is to restore his children to a much better level of glory. That is the goodness of our God. And then number five, he celebrates his children. Verse 23 says, let us bring the best calf. Let us bring the fatted calf. It's not just any calf. It's a huge calf. There's lots of steaks there. And let's have a whole family party. Are we not just going to, you know, have two of us have a little sit-down meal? No, we're going to throw a party. I'll never forget when my mom and dad threw a party for me when I was 21 years old. It was like amazing. We had this tent on the farm, over 100 people. It felt like a wedding. I was like, yes, what is this? You know, and that stage I was still like very shy and I didn't want lots of people. I said, man, let's just have, no, lots of people. The whole district gets invited because our son is 21. How awesome is that? And he gave me this key. My dad gave me a key and he said, this is the key to life. You know, that typical key and everyone writes little messages on it, and I've still got it somewhere. Must look at it again. You know, I'm reaching 42. Okay, so I should have another 21st after another 21 years. Still got 5 years to go. Okay, please, I'm far from 40. Okay, don't laugh. I'm very young, unlike some of you. But you see, there's a celebration. There's a celebration of the son coming home. God celebrates his children. And I want to say to each one of you tonight, you are celebrated. God celebrates you. The Father celebrates you as his children. That is who he is. Doesn't understand anything else. He celebrates us. And then we move along to the older son again. And the older son is throwing his toys out the cot because what is this younger son now? What has he done to deserve all of this? And so he's complaining and whining and everything. We'll talk more about that next week. But let's look at the father's reaction in verse 28. It says, the son was angry and he would not go in, and therefore his father came out and he pleaded with him. He pleaded. He said, son, please just understand what's happening here. You're part of this. You see, the heart of the father is to pursue his children, and he pursued his younger son and he pursued his older son. The younger son, he couldn't do anything about it because he chose to go away, so he's not going to run after him, and that's God. God waits for us to come to him. So when we've chosen the right way, we've got to choose to come back again. And more about that next week. But still, God pursues us. And the father went out to the son and said, son, please just understand. You've been with me all your life. And everything I have is yours. So please, just come back. Understand what's happening here. Father's heart is to pursue his children. And he's pursuing each one of us. If we can just realize that and receive that. And then lastly, verse 31, he says to the son, he says, son, you're always with me and all that I have is yours. He's trying to say to his son, listen here, son, I've got no favorites. My younger son is not better than you. You're the same. You're also a favorite. Both of you are actually favorites. And the older son just couldn't accept that. But you see, God's heart is out there that he's got no favorites. Okay, and some of us feel like we are not God's favorite. There's another person out there that's a favorite, but we are not. That's a lie. You're all God's favorites. Each one of us are of God's apple, the apple of his eye. We are beloved. We are loved. He pursues us. He celebrates us. He restores us to a better place. He forgives us of all our sins. He's kind to everyone. He is just. He is fair. And he's a giving God. But you know what our problem is? Many times we can't receive this. Because we have had a bad image of a father in our own lives. Or some kind of a leader that's portrayed something totally different from the heart of God. See, God is not the reflection of our earthly fathers. But he's the perfection thereof. The father is not the reflection of our earthly fathers. He's the perfection thereof. I don't know what your image of the Father has been like or who's portrayed an image of God for you that you're holding on to, but I want to say tonight, this is the Father. This is who he is. So to end off, I've just got four scriptures that I want to used just to sum up the heart of the Father, because so many of these just say so much more about who God is. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Isn't that amazing? It talks about loving our enemies, and that is quite difficult. And then he says the following. He says, "For he, God, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Isn't that amazing? The same as the Father, treating everyone equally, whether they're slaves or sons or wherever. God treats each one equally. God loves the whole world. And you know what? The Father understands sinful people. The Father understands sinful people like no one else understands sinful people. Now, I realize with my little son that I don't always understand sinful people. I want my son sometimes to be so perfect and so good and so do all the right things. Now, yesterday, we decided to have a braai, because Saturday is most National Braai Day, right? So we had a braai yesterday afternoon, and so I, by mistake, messed all the ash that was under the Weber on the catch thing there and messed on the ground. And so, oh, time to clean up. And so Matthew's there on his bike, and I see this pile of ash there, and I just said to him, "Listen here, don't ride your bike through that ash," because he had bare feet and everything. So I said to him, and I could sort of see what was coming here, because he was just standing there waiting for this opportunity now. And I said, "Listen, I'm just going to get a bucket of water to clean this, but so please, just do not," I didn't say please, I said, "do not ride your bike through this ash." And he just sits there and he looks and he waits for me to go. And so I go and I come back with this bucket of water, and there I see bicycle marks right through the middle of this ash thing. And so I want to get so upset, and then I said to him, I said, "Was it not, did you deliberately disobey me?" And he says, "Yes." And I said, "Was it nice?" And he says, "Yes." And I realized, God, we are all born in sin, and I should understand sinful people. My son isn't perfect, and he's not always going to listen to me. And so I had a moment with the Lord there, and the Lord just said to me, "That is who I am. My Father's, I understand sinful people, and I've made provision for sinful people. But I love the world. I truly love the whole world. And that is why I sent my son." It's amazing, a father sending his son to be the sacrifice. Trying to tell us something. He could have sent another person, but he sent his only son. He sent the apple of his eye, so that we can also be the apple of his eye. God understands sinful people, but he loves the whole world. Matthew chapter 7. "What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children." He's almost speaking to fathers here, and he's saying, "Listen here, if you understand the Father's heart, how much greater isn't the Father in heaven's heart? How much more will he not give you good things to those who ask him?" This is the heart of the Father. And it doesn't say he's going to give you everything. It says he's going to give you good things. He knows what's bad for you. And so if you ask for bad things, he's not just going to give you bad things. Sometimes not giving you something is a little bit of discipline, saying, "Son, daughter, I love you so much. I can't give you this now because I love you too much." The Father knows what is the best for us. But he wants to give us good things. And if we ask him for good things, he will give them. We must just ask. It says, yeah, if we ask. And you know, Luke writes this exact same verse, and he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, "How much more will I give you the Holy Spirit as a gift?" But the Father is a giver. The Father knows what's best for us. And his motives are always pure. I want to say this evening that God's motives are always pure. He doesn't have any schemes or anything to try and, like, you know, trick us. His motives are pure, and his discipline is always righteous and for the best for us. He wants the best for us. And so sometimes God's discipline might seem unfair, but no, God is a fair God. He's a just God. But he knows what's the best for us, and he wants to give us life, people, this evening. Amen? He wants to give us life. Number 3. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." Listen to this. "With whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." How many of us have been dropped by fathers or parents or people that said they were going to be there for us and they weren't there. How many of us? Pretty much everyone. Everyone has been disappointed by some person in their lives. Otherwise, you're not on the right planet yet. You should be in heaven then. Okay? We're all living in an imperfect world. We've all been disappointed by someone. But you know what? The Father in heaven, there's no variation. There's no shadow of turning with Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything He says is true. I want to say that again. Everything He says is true. You can trust Him. Everything He does is right. And everything He promises, He does. He will be there for you in your most difficult times. Where everyone else has dropped you, everyone else has walked away and rejected you, He will be there. He does not change. And He gives us good and He gives us perfect gifts. And lastly, 1 John 3 says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed upon us. That we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The Amplified Version just says it so nicely. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given us. He's given us the right to become children of God. John 1:12 says that to those who receive Him, as many as received Him, to them He's given the right to become children of God. We must receive Him because He wants relationship with us. He's pursuing us, but He never pulls us and forces us to say, come, I want relationship. He says, here's the choice for you to have relationship, to come back to Me. Those who have strayed, those who have gone away, just come back. Be like the younger son. The Father loves the whole world. The Father knows what's best for us. The Father does not change. The Father wants relationship with each one of us. That is His heart. But yeah, in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples. My last scripture for this evening. He said, if you had known Me. He's talking to the disciples and He's saying, listen, yeah, it's time for Me to go. But you know what? My Father has prepared a house for each one of us. My Father's prepared many mansions. But guess what? I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I'm the only life. And He says in verse 6, He says, no one comes to the Father except through Me. And then He qualifies that and He says, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. But from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. And then Philip starts to get all, but show us the Father, Jesus. We are so excited. You're talking about the Father. Show us the Father. And Jesus is like, Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known Me? He who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Here is the Father in front of you. Here is the heart of the Father. It talks about seen and known. The perfect image of the Father is represented in His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, wants relationship with us, wants to draw us back to Himself, who's made provision for all our sins, all our shortcomings, all our stuff. Jesus has done it on the cross. Isn't that amazing? Isn't the gospel such powerful good news for each one who believes tonight? I want us to watch this video clip, and the band, you guys can come forward so long. But just watch this video clip. It's such an inspiring video clip. It's about a father and a son. Some of you might have seen it, but I can tell you it really stirs you on the inside, because this is who God is, but so much greater. God is so much greater than this. But this gives a little bit of an image of who God is. Let's all stand this evening. See, the Father's love is just so great. And when you see what's possible humanly, you just realize there's so much more possible in the Spirit. And that's the Father's love for us. He carries us through an Ironman of 3.8k swim, 180 kilometer cycle, and a 42k run. It's not just once that those two have done it. They've done a couple. But the Father's love is so great for us this evening. And He wants us to be His sons and His daughters. He wants us His children. He doesn't want us orphans. He doesn't want us to doubt His love and His perfection in our lives. Just reading this last scripture, you know, The Bible says that blessed are those who haven't seen Jesus, because these disciples, even they were still doubting the Father. Even they were saying, show us the Father. And Jesus is trying to get this into their heads for many years. A couple of years, 3 years. And eventually they got it. But he said, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you've known me, you've known the Father. But the Bible says that blessed are those who haven't seen Jesus, but yet they still believe. We are more blessed on this side because we have chosen to believe, even though we haven't seen him in person. Whereas they have seen him in person, and that's why they could die a martyr's death, all of them, because they'd seen Jesus. They had a revelation of him being in person, real. But who are we? We are blessed. We are more blessed because we have chosen to believe in that which we haven't seen. But we know him by the Holy Spirit. And we see him with our spiritual eyes. We've seen that he's real. Because he's come to reveal the Father's heart to each one of us. I want to be honest, I'm still waiting for my dad to say to me, Alistair, I love you. And it's not for me that I'm doing that, because I know who loves me. I know the Father loves me, but I know it's for him. It's going to set him free when he says to me, I love you. Because he's one of those that come from the generation where it was so difficult to be emotional as a man, and, you know, to say, I love you, that's like so girlish, you know. But I say to him, Dad, I love you. And then he says, you know, thanks or whatever, you know. It's difficult for him to like say, I love you, son. And I'm not fazed by it. But I know when he does it, it's going to change his life. Because on Friday night, Matthew, I was holding him at the end of the CD launch, and we were watching the band pack up, and I just said to him, because he had this peace over him, and it was so amazing. I experienced the Lord on Friday, and then I said to him, you know, Matthew, I just love you so much. Because he's like hugging me like this. It's so awesome. And he whispers into my ear, says, Daddy, I love you. Just amazing. For a father to experience a son saying, I love you. That's what God wants for us to do. Say, God, I love you. Because I know that I'm your son. I know that I'm your daughter. I know that I'm loved by you. And so this evening, I want to pray for us this evening. Because I believe there's some people who haven't got the right father's image. God wants to restore that. He wants to redeem that. He wants to bring you back to that place where you know his heart for you. You can start to believe for the impossible again. You can start to receive your inheritance. But not because it's all about me, God, like the prodigal son. It's because I want to bless the nations. I want to be a father as well. And so I know I must receive your heart, God, that I can be a father. Because ultimately that's what it's about. Bloemfontein needs fathers and mothers. Amen. There's so many orphans out here. And God wants to do it in our church. That's why I'm so excited. Because it's not an emotional thing. It's really in the spirit God has told us. And he's been trying to get through to me for a couple of years now. I've just been like holding back on this thing. And this last while, I've just been experiencing God's love again. And just he's doing it in my life, delivering me from all the performance and all the stuff that I was trying to do to almost please him in a way. God wants to deliver us of that. He wants us to know his heart. He's for us and he wants to change us. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot earn anything in his kingdom. He wants just to love us. So Lord, I pray this evening, God, for each one of your precious children in this place tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do a mighty work in each one, Lord. Those who are still struggling with that orphan spirit. Those who don't understand your father's heart. Those who have been disappointed by past dads. Or dads that are still there, but yet they're not there. I just want to thank you that you restore the Father's image in people tonight, Lord. Those who have lost their fathers or who have never experienced their fathers because they just walked away when they were small. I just want to thank you that you come and restore that tonight in Jesus' name. That you come to bring people back to that place of love for you, Lord. That you are the perfect Father. You're not a reflection. You're not just a better example than an earthly father. You are the perfect Father. That is who you are, God. You want your sons and daughters to come back tonight. So I want to thank you for your love in this place. I want to thank you for your presence tonight.